Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Autism Stories. I'm your host, Doug Bletcher, the founder of Autism Personal Coach. Autistic people are the true experts of the autistic experience, and Autism Stories is where we interview autistic people to learn from their stories, experiences, and get their insights. If you would like to be notified about each week's episode of Autism Stories, we suggest you subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform. We would also appreciate it if you could give us a positive rating and review, as it will help others to learn about autism stories. On today's episode, Niraj Shah joins us to discuss his role in the autistic community, recognizing our privilege, and building authentic relationships. We hope you enjoy today's conversation. Niraj, thanks so much for joining me here on Autism Stories.
Thanks, Doug. Glad to be here.
I'd love to start out our conversation by learning, where does your story in the autistic community begin?
Yeah, so just to give a bit of a background about myself, so I was diagnosed with autism at age 3, so a very early age. So, you know, I've been autistic for as long as I know, so since I was very, very young. And in terms of when I actually started to get involved in the autistic community, it was kind of after university. Again, you know, especially entering the workplace, obviously there were challenges there regarding to like being autistic in the workplace, navigating the workplace as a neurodivergent individual. And so that's where I got more involved in the community and did things like writing blogs. I do some public speaking whenever I can. So that's just like giving talks to like, you know, different audiences, different organizations on just my lived experiences of being neurodivergent, being autistic, even D&I more generally. And so, yeah, when it comes to what I do as part of the autistic community, it's mainly just sharing my lived experiences, either to, you know, to share my perspective on things or to like raise awareness or to like just start those conversations with other people.
And I initially learned about you on LinkedIn, where you talk a lot about neurodiversity and your lived experience. And recently you shared that you're going to talk less about neurodiversity on that platform and focus on other aspects of diversity and inclusion. Why is it important for you to make that change?
That's a really good question. I think before I start, I think it's important to appreciate that me talking less about neurodiversity is not because necessarily I hate talking about neurodiversity. I've really enjoyed it. I think for me, it's more of a personal choice. Well, there's kind of two reasons. Firstly, when I talk about neurodiversity all the time, majority of my posts, majority of my blog posts are on neurodiversity. When it comes to my own personal life, that's what I focus on, how my neurodiversity causes me challenges. There are so many different parts of my identity, like being South Asian, being a male, living in London, and much, much more. However, I felt that upon reflection, I was just focusing on the neurodiversity aspect of it and not on other areas, where I feel that if I focus on, you know, different parts of my identity and how they contribute to my lived experiences, that would be a lot healthier. And I think the second reason is, again, having had conversations with other people, so people from work, people outside of work, I've been able to share my, you know, perspective and views on lots of different things when it comes to the D&I space. So for example, I think, you know, you noted a post on privilege, another post on like being authentic, another post on intersectionality. And I feel that when it comes to how I contribute in the D&I space, I feel I can talk about a range of topics in the D&I spectrum, not just neurodiversity. So I feel having that balance of talking about a broader range of topics not only helps me, where it allows me to, again, focus on like lots of different aspects of my identity, but also in terms of my audience, they get to see a greater range of views in terms of the conversations I have with other people. It'll be more perspectives being shared.
Now, you mentioned privilege, and one topic I've talked with others here on Autism Stories is recognizing our privilege when it comes to diversity and inclusion. And last month, you wrote an article on LinkedIn discussing this very topic. What would you say your privilege is, and how do you think it's helpful when we do recognize the privilege that each of us has?
Yeah, so again, another really good question. So I think when it comes to privilege, I think to start off with, when it comes to the D&I space, we talk a lot about marginalized groups where people may have disadvantages, where people may face challenges when it comes to the workplace or everything else. And I think on the flip side, it's also important that we recognize where we have privilege, where we have an advantage. And I feel with our privileges, we do take it for granted sometimes and we don't notice it, but it is our privileges that have helped in some shape or form make our lived experience easier. So again, talking about my own experiences, I'd say one massive privilege that I have, which again, I've fallen into the trap of taking this for granted, is being financially stable. So my parents worked hard when bringing us up, you know, had good jobs, had good salaries. And I had a stable full-time job. My brother has a stable full-time job, a stable salary. And all of that helps with being financially stable, being able to do the things that we want to do, such as traveling, you know, meeting friends, eating out, things like that. And I think that's something that makes things significantly easier for me. Like, if I was not financially stable, I think things would be a lot harder. So I think that's one massive privilege that I've been guilty of taking it for granted, but it does give me a big advantage in a lot of ways compared to people that may not be financially stable.
One of the most common challenges, I think, for us as autistics is finding connections with others and building authentic relationships. So you've written articles about developing authentic relationships in your life. And one question you ask yourself that you mentioned in the articles is, can I be my authentic self with them? So what are some things that help you to be your authentic self with others?
When it comes to being your authentic self around others, I think it's important, again, to appreciate it's not as just simple as being yourself overnight and then you can be your authentic self around others. It does take time because, again, when you have masked in the past where you've suppressed your behaviors, your personality for a long time, it is hard to reverse that because it's almost those behaviors are ingrained. I think when it comes to being your authentic self around people, I think the first thing it's what is really important is make sure it's the right people around you, like the people who are going to be understanding, the people who are going to be open-minded, the people who are going to want to know more. Because I feel like you can't be authentic around everyone, either because sometimes the situation doesn't allow it or because that other person not as open-minded or just any other reason. So when it comes to being authentic around other people, it's important to make sure that you are around the right people, that, like, for example, your friends, your family, maybe people that you get on well with at work. And once you've got the right people, again, it's still a challenge to actually show your authentic self. When it comes to being your authentic self, it's very easy to overthink it. Like being a certain way, you know, I've got to be like this to be authentic, or be like this to authentic. But I think being authentic is kind of being a bit more free, kind of not overthinking it. Just like, it's kind of what it is, what it says on the tin. It's just being yourself. Generally, what I have found is people value that. People value you being your authentic self rather than someone who isn't. Like, I think one example where, again, which I would recommend for anyone wanting to be their authentic self is being able to express your own views and your own opinions on things, because it's very easy to agree with someone else or just follow someone else's views and opinions. Again, but that's not being authentic. Being authentic around others also involves being able to share, what do you think of something? What is your view on something? Like, what's my opinion on something? So I think that is one good way of, I think, being authentic around others, if they're the right people.
Kind of going back to what you were talking about a little bit earlier about your other identities and things like that, how much do you think for you, like, intersectionality plays a factor into being authentic and building real connections?
I think when it, initially came to my own mastering, my own mastering journey and being my authentic self, a lot of it was the neurodiversity aspect because, but like when I started it, I was under this impression that, you know, only, you know, mainly neurodivergent people master, navigate a neurotypical world. So a lot of my own mastering journey was based upon that. However, as I progressed in my own mastering journey, something that I've realized is I think everyone masks to some shape or form. Like we're all facing this challenge to be our authentic self, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in society. Like a lot of us mask either to, you know, to behave a certain way in the workplace or to do things because society expects us to do it. So I do think that everyone masks to some shape or form. When it comes to how intersectionality has influenced my experiences of being authentic, I think it's definitely a work in progress because I think, as I mentioned in one of your earlier questions, in the past, a lot of what I focused on was the neurodivergent aspect of it. So I think it's, again, it's kind of interesting how other aspects of my identity influence my ability to be authentic around others. So like, for example, my culture being South Asian, how, you know, generally being in the South Asian community impacts that, where I feel, let's say, for the South Asian community, there's a lot more emphasis on conforming to what society expects, like listening to society. And I think that obviously impacts my experience of being authentic.
And lastly, Niraj, how can our listeners learn more about you beyond this interview?
I'm on LinkedIn, so I think you'll post a link to my LinkedIn channel. And in my LinkedIn profile, I write a lot of posts. So I aim to post about once a week, again, on different topics, not just neurodiversity, but on D&I, you know, well-being, topics like that. And I also write blogs on Medium. So again, blogging's on something I've done for quite a while. So again, I write blogs on various topics. You know, a lot of my blog posts, ideas have come from just having interesting conversations with others and being like, let me think about that further and writing a blog on it. So mainly in terms of how to get in touch, like my LinkedIn, my blogs. And again, I'm very happy to have conversations with anyone about any aspect of D&I and well-being.
Well, Niraj, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for talking to me here on Autism Stories.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Niraj for the conversation. To learn more about Niraj, please check out the link in the podcast description for this episode. We always love hearing from you and would especially love to hear from you relating to this episode on how do you feel your privilege affects your journey when it comes to being neurodivergent in the world. Here at Autism Personal Coach, our clients are the experts, our coaches are the guides. The majority of supports for autistics are not helpful. They try to fix us, not support us. That's why many are confused when we say our clients are the experts, experts of their lived experience. Our clients are the experts for what has worked for them and about the things they need and want in their lives. Our coaches first listen to our clients, then ask thoughtful questions, offer resources, and strategize with our clients so they can get what they need to thrive. Would you want a guide in your life to coach you to help you get the things you desire? If so, then visit autismpersonalcoach.com for more information. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autism Stories, and if you did, if you could tell a friend, foe, or anyone else you know about it so they could have the same enjoyable and educational experience as you when listening to Autism Stories, would be very much appreciated. Until next time, I'm Doug Bletcher of Autism Personal Coach. Talk to you then.